Welcome to Destiny Revival Ministries Sermon of the Week. Thank you for joining us. You can stay up to date through our social media or give from the link in the details. We hope this message blesses you.
Come on. All right, let's go ahead and get that background. Without any further ado, I have asked Brother Jeff to come and share with us this morning. Let's welcome him as he shares the word of the Lord with us. And I know you're going to be blessed. I told him everything he needs to say this morning. No, I did not. I actually made the notes for him. No, I did. I just asked him to come and share probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago already. So we're blessed. Be blessed.
Love you.
Come on. Twice in 1 week. I should be good till about February of next year now. So. Anyway, let me move this. I'm going to get some notes and stuff out. Like, I look professional. A lot of times I don't even I'm going to confess something. Thursday night, and I didn't tell you this, I had nothing. I came with nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. And April started speaking some stuff, and I just kind of picked that up and went with it. So sometimes that's the best way, is when you just pick it up and go with it, right? But anyway, thank you for the opportunity, and thank Mark and April and the leadership. It's always a privilege to speak, and the only prayer I have is that we all, including me, leave with something that enhances our spiritual life, right? We had a great men's breakfast yesterday, those that couldn't make it. I'm going to say Pastor Mark. I say Mark, don't get offended. It's not disrespectful or anything. I know he's the pastor, and so do we, right? But anyway, what was great about it was Mark brought a wonderful message, but then we had kind of a roundtable discussion. And if you didn't leave encouraged and with some really impactful things, then you may need to get resaved or revisit your Christianity, because there was some really good things that were said that you should carry and ponder throughout the week. Anyway, I'm going to title this. I'm going to start titling. So I know people like titles. If it would be Prayer, Solitude, and Growth. And yesterday we talked about prayer, and I've been hitting this for a while, this prayer thing, in my own devotional time. And one of the things we see that we don't hear a lot about throughout the Bible is that Jesus oftentimes went to be in solitude and prayer, right? And I think that's an important thing to start to understand, because we get dependent on busy work or busyness, the right CD, like April was saying, the right song or the right posture or the right room or the right scriptures playing. But we really don't teach people that just as Jesus did when he went to the wilderness to be tempted, what happened before he was tempted? He got baptized. What happened between the What happened between the baptism and the... He fasted and prayed and connected with God for 40 days, right? He connected with God. So what gave him the strength to be able to withstand the temptation? The baptism. Then he went and he really cemented that connection, right? And then he was able to be... withstand the so I'm going to tell you some scriptures. I'm not going to read them. You probably already know them already. Matthew 3:13, it talks about Jesus being baptized. 4:1, he goes to the wilderness, makes the connection, gets tempted, and it says that his ministry started after he was baptized, right? So for us to be effective in ministry, what is one of the things we need to do? Spend that private time, right? That personal connection that lets him speak to us, encourage us to move on in what we're supposed to be doing. So prayer is listening to that voice, to the one who calls you the beloved. It is to constantly go back to the truth of who we are and claim it for who? For ourselves. We have to claim it for ourselves. We have to, I said this on Thursday night, we have to own our relationship with Christ. far too often we give that power to something else, ministries or our teachers or, you know, well, this teacher said or that teacher said. Okay, what did you say? What does God say to you? That's what I want to hear. I want to hear what revelation you're getting. It's good to hear what I say. It's good to hear what Bill Johnson says. It's good to hear what, but as you mature, I want to hear what revelation you got.
That's right.
Toes okay?
Yeah, that's it.
That was Henry Nouwen, by the way, that I just recited, that you can look him up if you're interested. He did a lot of teaching on the Father's heart and connected the, he was a taught at the Harvard School of Divinity, left there, went and took care of a handicapped person the rest of his life and was most fulfilled doing that. So, Matthew 14:13-23 says he withdrew to a desolate place. Mark 1:35 rose early to pray. Mark 14:32 sit here while I pray, told the disciples, right? You can go back and read these. After he healed the leper, what did he do?
Yeah.
He went off to a private place to pray, right? He went to regroup. He started to get spent too, just like we do, right? So he needed to go back, rest under the love of the Father and get that reaffirming. Mark 6:46, he went to pray. Luke 6:12 and Luke 9:18. Prayer is looking out from a different set of eyes, which are not comparing, judging, labeling, analyzing, but receiving the moment in the present wholeness. That's Ed Piorek. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of him, but he's a great teacher and wrote a couple of books. But when you're in your prayer time, your private time, you got to shut down. You know, your thought process begins to, I mean, it'll swirl in all kind of directions, right? But you have to train yourself. You have to learn to shut that down and focus. I think Paul said yesterday, a lot of times during the day, he'll just say, thank you, Jesus, or I acknowledge you, Jesus. That's praying without ceasing. Right? The acknowledgement of God in your daily life throughout the day is praying without ceasing. Just the acknowledgement. That's praying without ceasing. We get caught up with these formulas, these religious formulas. And all it does is hinder you. It just destroys you. Been there, done that. I said yesterday, we were talking and I think you've said, somebody may say, well, I read 15 minutes. Somebody else says, I read an hour or whatever. And, you know, and the one guy says to them, well, I must not be doing too good. You know, I'm only reading 15 minutes. But I think we need to, before we open this, think about what we're going to do. If I read 15 minutes or I read an hour, he says, man, I started reading 15 minutes. Well, I read an hour. That's pompous. What we should do, the initial thing out of our mature Christian mouth should be, man, that's great. Keep up the good work.
That's it.
Right? God's going to bless you in those 15 minutes.
Come on.
That's when you get into private prayer. You come into maturity. Your mind, your spirit, your heart starts to think differently towards what somebody's telling you, right? It says it right here. You start looking at different. Look at things differently. Not comparing, judging, labeling, analyzing. Somebody tells you something, I believe that I got some revelation on this. Well, you know. No, you're going to say, man, that's great that you've been spending time with God and he's showing you things. He's maturing you. But we have to be mature first, right? And sometimes we have to take some lumps and go through some valleys and some hilltops. And in 32 years, we've been doing lay ministry and full-time ministry. We've been through all kind of lumps and things. And I'm not going to tell you that I wasn't at a very discouraged place. I've said that before, where I didn't even want to walk into a church. So we just don't want to be that type of person, right? That's hindering somebody's walk. including our own. That's the one we're most responsible for. But out of the mouth comes what? The issues of the heart. Bill Johnson, who I just said, a lot of people know, he's a great guy. He said, Jesus is the light that enlightens everyone who comes into the world. Everyone has received enlightenment, but busyness, and I can't even read my own writing. This is sad, isn't it? Busyness, shame, and pride keep us from being in touch with the understanding of the unseen that God put in every one of us. Busyness, pride, shame. There's a lot of people carrying shame. Are we going to help free them for that, or are we going to just heap it on them? We might be walking in pride. Are we just going to continue to be prideful, or are we going to lay it at the altar? Yeah. You can do that in your private time. You don't have to go to an altar or confess. If you want to, that's fine, but you can confess it to God, and he can take it away from you. So you think about Mary, and I think it was Mary and Martha. You know, one was laying there at the feet of Jesus listening to him. The other one was busy, busy, busy. She said, well, how come she gets to lay there and not do anything? If I was Jesus, I said, why don't you mind your own business, you know what I mean? She's doing what she's supposed to do. You do what you're supposed to do. But there's a method to all of it. There's a method. The Bible is very direct. It's a method to all of it, right? Solitude begins with a time and place for God and God alone. It is precisely where we are most alone, most unique, most ourselves, that God is closest. This is where we experience God as our divine, loving Father. You know, it's a wonderful feeling to experience it here, right? It's like going to a football game, and everybody's excited, they're hyped. There's a momentum that happens, right? But when you leave here, what's going on? When you leave the conference, when you leave the church, and trust me, I'm not against church. I'm not against conferences. But if that's the only place where you're connected with God and excited about God, there's something wrong. Do you have a connection with God, or do you have a connection with whatever that ministry is? Nothing wrong with ministries. Trust me, I've been to conferences all over, went to Pensacola when the revival was going on, was Toronto, blessings, everything and anything you can think of. Some of it I got there and was ready to go home. Jennifer said, probably most of them, aren't you? All right, so we have to have a healthy balance between community and solitude. And what's that look like? Well, I can't tell you what that looks like. I can tell you what it looks like for me. I get up early in the morning. We talked about this yesterday, about 5 a.m., and I'll do some reading, and I'll just sit sometimes on my patio and just quiet and just connect to God. That's what it looks like for me. What's it look like for you? Well, that's for you to determine. I mean, we can give formulas and everything, but it's not going to do you any good. You work out your own salvation and relationship, right? And it doesn't necessarily have to be with fear and trembling. You say that when you got to lead somebody to the Lord. You talk about the fear and trembling and stuff. Get them real nervous, you know. And they say the prayer, and then you never see them again. And you say, I'm going to see that guy in heaven one day. I can't find in the Bible. I'm going to chase a rabbit. And please turn your offering in before. I have yet to find in the Bible where the Lord's Prayer is, where you pray for somebody and you lead them in that prayer. I have yet to find that. Does anybody know where that is? No, because where does it say a prayer and turn them loose? It doesn't. It says, make disciples. Stay connected. That's the tough work, right? It's very easy to, well, let's see, be careful. It's very easy to, I'll use Billy Graham as an example because this is in one of his books. He said thousands and thousands and thousands of people would go to crusades, right? I mean, New Orleans, they would have a whole arena full of people. Next Sunday, the churches were empty. It's great that they went there and said that prayer, but very few became disciples. That's the goal of outreach or relationship, is to make a disciple. And in order to make a disciple, you have to stay connected. And it's going to be painful. The guys that discipled me, it was painful for them. I guarantee you, they probably were saying, how much, like Jesus told the disciples, he's how much longer we got to bear with this guy? Because there were some times, I'm sure they were like, you sure you called us to this guy? You know, but as we're shown grace, and that's why we can show the grace, the humility that we were shown, where much is given, much is expected. So you're looking at a product of grace, mercy, love, and acceptance right here.
Amen.
That's why I'm so tender. So I said that. One more page. I really am. If you really get to know me, I really. Phew. Yeah. So here we go. What do we share with people? I think I just kind of said this. What do we share with people? What do we talk about? Information? Do we give information that we've heard, that we've regurgitated? That's good for a little while, right? I'm impressed with that for a little while, but as maturity happens, what do? We talk about the supernatural, prophesying, tongues, and please don't leave and say he criticized the gifts of spirit. That's not what I'm doing. But what is the person you're meeting on the street know about prophesying? If we lead off with spiritual gifts, lost as a goose in a snowstorm, you know, you've ever heard that expression? Or are we sharing knowledge that was birthed out of our relationship with Christ? That's what's going to impact. Later on, we can go into all the supernatural. You'll impress the church people with that. You want the world. She's telling me to hold a mic up. Sarah said keep it down. Anyway, you'll impress the church people with that. That's very impressive. You know, prophesying and doing all those things, very impressive. But for the average person that you're going to encounter in the street, they don't need to hear that. I remember this movie, and it might have been in the 80s or 90s. I know y'all don't watch movies because y'all spiritual, but I do. In the 80s and 90s. And I can't remember the name of this. I like The Gladiator, too. You know what? When I watch a lot of churches or I go to a lot of watch them on TV, I think, if the gladiator was there, he'd say, are you not entertained? You know what I mean? Because that's a lot of what it's about, right? Entertainment. Very little substance. But anyway, I saw this movie, and I think the kid was like, the Holy Spirit was on him or something, and there was demons and stuff trying to get her to renounce Christ or something. Can't even remember the movie. That's how great it was. But anyway, I do remember this part. They went into this alley, and there was a homeless guy there. Like, I mean, homeless. Anybody ever been around real homeless people? I mean, like, that defecated and, yeah. We have, too, and it's not a pretty sight or smell or experience. But there was a guy like that, and the Satanist or demon guy, whatever, was dressed real nice, Armani and stuff, you know, like we're supposed to dress. You too, what you laughing at? Project Leon, pastor, yeah. But the guy said, look at this guy. This is a useless person right here. Shouldn't we do away with these people? What's the purpose? What did God do this for? And he's just saying this for about 15 minutes. He's just berating stuff. And after that, he looks at the little girl. A little girl walks over and she goes, he has not forgotten you. And the guy just burst into tears. That's solid word, right? He has not forgotten you. No matter where you are, that's birthed out of a relationship. All right, that's good, right? So what are we sharing? You know, everybody know who Einstein is? I'm going to quote Einstein. Can I do that from the church? Okay. To plant one flower is a beautiful thing, but to plant an entire row is a chore, right? And Einstein said that because it's very easy just to plant one thing, but it's much tougher to stay in for the long haul. It's easy to say, I accept Jesus and all that, but all the bumps and all the ride that comes after, is sometimes you're going to white knuckle it, but it's worth it in the end, right? So, and this is what I want to leave you with. I want to leave you with three thoughts, and you can. This is something you can take home and think about, or you don't have to. It's up to you. Am I stable or unstable in my prayer times? Now, what does that mean? Am I stable or unstable? That don't mean you have a set time where for 20 minutes. But am I doing what Paul said? Just acknowledging Christ during the day. Am I stable enough just to every now and then say, Lord, I'm here for you. I respect you. I love you. Or thank you for giving me this position or this house or this family, whatever. Here's another one. Do I jump from one activity, one community, one ministry, or one project to another? Busyness, right? Distracted. Don't want to deal with what really needs to be dealt with. Becomes a distraction, right? Do I complete what I began? The Bible says that that began a good work will complete it, right? But you have to be a part of that, right? I know very few people that just magically something happened. It does, but most of us, we had to work at our Christianity with our relationship, right? So those three things, and I just want to, just 1 minute, if we could just stand up, I'll let you close, Mark, but if we could just stand up for a second, and I just want to say a quick prayer, and then I'll give it over to Pastor Mark, and hopefully that this helped us. It helped me. I mean, I've been mulling this over for when he asked me, I said, well, I got the skeleton. I just need to put the flesh on it. But so, Lord, we just honor you this morning. Father, we leave here with an open heart, Lord. We just say, come and touch us and heal us and bring us into that relationship. Meet us wherever we need to be met. Bless each person here as they go throughout their week, their families. Lord, we continue to strive after you. As we said for us Thursday, we want to not be followers. We want to be disciples, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God. While you're standing, I just wanted to say, you know, in the middle of all of that, I hear the word, he's a relational God. That's what I get. He's a relational God. Where prayer isn't just repetitious babbling. Going to God, prayer isn't a monologue of us doing all the talking. It's a dialogue, and we say a sentence to God and he says a sentence back to us and we say another sentence back to him. Prayer is not only not babbling, it is constant communion with the Lord. One of the things that I said yesterday is Smith Wigglesworth said this, I don't pray for more than 30 minutes or half an hour, but I don't go without praying for more than 30 minutes. And what he was saying is he's in constant communion. He was also somebody that when he ate food for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, that he'd have the word at the table because he said, my physical body needs to eat, but my spiritual man, I want to feed my spirit also. So there was a constant relationship. And out of the overflow of that relationship is when we become the most beneficial to others. In touching out of the lives of others. Why? Because if there's a dialogue, if heaven's speaking in you, I'll talk about the three dimensions of God. There's the upward, the inward, and the outward. We minister to God, he ministers to us, and then he ministers through us. He's a three-dimensional God, and those paradigms only operate in the realm of relationship. None of us goes before, you know, Pastor Gabe doesn't wake up and look at Pastor Amy and go, you know, just like I would be praying, Father God, we thank you that, Lord, and we thank you for the next thing. And he doesn't look at her in the morning and go, Amy, I really thank you. And the next, and he doesn't do the exact same prayer that he does to God, to his own spouse, yet we do that with God. Amen. Come on. He wants you to communicate. You were created in His image and likeness. You were created for His pleasure. You were created to communicate with Him. Your communication is not King James Version. O Lord, Thee Thou, whence have I not Thee before Thine, except after Thou? You know, so we don't have to go into another tone when we talk to Him. But anyway, the point of the matter is, it's out of that relationship this morning. Let that get into your spirit. Be led by the Spirit. In that relationship, God may have you do this and that or the other thing. But it's out of the obedience to the voice of the Holy Spirit that comes through relationship. Out of that dialogue. Amen? Say this with me. God wants to dialogue with me. That's the difference between relationship and religion. Religion is a constant monologue where we are appealing to some God that's out there, and if you can hear me, I'm begging you to do this. And God's not that way. He sent His Son so that we could have full communication, that we can become sons of God, that we can be in this dialogue. Amen. Not a monologue. Isn't that amazing? How many of you blessed that you came to church? That wasn't the second part of the service. Before you are dismissed this morning, while you're standing up, I'm not going to have you sit to be dismissed. Please, if you have not picked up your Knowing God's Will and Voice manual, please pick it up. Remember this, your name is on a list. We order the manuals every month. Unless you come and tell us to remove you off of that list, we order the manuals and we need to have you pick them up. Please, 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 if you can kindly pick up your manual, see Tanya and she will give you your manual. And I know some of you are absent that don't have your manuals. We'll be contacting those people. So, hallelujah. Come on, say this with me. Jesus is Lord. Jesus. Say this with me. Father, I thank You for this coming week. I thank You for Your anointing that rests on me, that rests in me, that works through me, that wherever I go, Your hand is upon my life. Say You're opening up doors that the enemy cannot shut. Say this, You're shutting the doors that you need to shut. Say this, that this week, favor comes my way, opportunity comes to my business. Wow, opportunity comes to my business. Opportunity comes to my workplace. Say this, I have the mind of Christ. Say this, I am a divine agent with the divine nature of God working in me to set the captives free. If you believe that, then give Him one shout of praise in Jesus' name. Be blessed, be blessed, be blessed, and go in the joy of the Lord.